Savior. We'll take your Bible, open to 1 Peter chapter number 3, a life worth living. A life worth living. Is your life a life worth living? Many people across our country today, many of them probably more than we would probably even know, awake or awoke this morning, and I'm sure, though not that philosophical, they probably had some types of meditations whether their life was worth living. There are many people who contemplated of even having the courage to end it. But I'm glad today that we have God and we have His promises and we have His grace, and that through faith in Christ, you and I can find a life worth living. If you look with me in 1 Peter chapter number 3, notice if you will in verse number 8, 1 Peter 3 verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this good Lord's day. And Father, we thank you for the excitement of the day because of your promise to be with us. And Lord, your presence, oh, how it can change our lives. And Father, your presence and your power and your word, Father, can do miraculous things today. Lord, we come today and pray for every need that's represented, perhaps somebody here today, and without Christ in their heart. Lord, they may not disbelieve anything in the Bible, but they've never had a time where they knew they were sinners and where they called out unto Jesus and asked Him to be their personal Savior. Father, I pray that day be today. Would you move in their hearts in a great way? Bring great conviction. Father, would you speak to them as if they're the only person in the room? God, I do pray for every one of your children. Now, Lord, we represent many needs. And Father, we come. And Lord, there's some who are wrestling with the flesh, some wrestling with fear and sorrow, some hurting and suffering in body. Lord, those some who, Father, have doubts, some have discouragement. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all in the good Word of God. May your Spirit, Lord, do that great work. We pray for liberty in the house of God. I pray that, Father, you build a hedge about us. Lord, that you would protect us from the influences and distractions of evil. And Lord, may we, Father, hear the voice of God today. And may we worship Thee and commune and fellowship. And Lord, we know if we're willing to receive the Word of God, Lord, you will help us. You will change us. You will grow us. Father, we pray now and ask for your blessing in Jesus' precious name for His glory. Amen. A life worth living. Verse number 10, I love the verse. For he that will love life and see good days. Well, what a promise. Loving life and seeing good days. Isn't that the great desire really of all mankind? I mean, we want to be able to love life. We want to be able to love living. Our life worth living. Our life, a life of joy and peace. A life, listen, that is worth living and truly, and to see good days. To see good days. Well, there are many a time when we look on the horizon and we become so nearsighted that we cannot see the possibility of good days ahead. There are many people, listen, who have actually gone to the extreme of taking their own life because they didn't think there were any good days that could possibly come to their life. But you and I who know the Lord, we do not forget. Now listen, who knows what a day may bring? And who knows, listen, how that God may come and in God's great power. And listen, there have been many days that God has completely changed my life in one day. And there are in prophecies, you know what? There are astounding movements of God and promises of God about special days that are ahead. And the church is looking for a great day. And listen, it might come today. I trust you'll be ready. Be a great day for the believer. Be a terrible day for those who aren't. And so I'm glad I put my faith in Christ. You know why? Because I want to see good days, not bad ones. If you and I have not put our faith in Christ, if somebody here is not saved today, now listen, I can't give you the promise of good days. But I can if you're saved. Oh, that's the promise God gives us. And I want good days ahead. I'm sure you do too. I want happy sailing in the sea of life. And I know there are storms, I know there are hardships, but I know that God's on board. And listen, I know I've invited Him to come and be master of this ship. And so I know where He ultimately will lead me. I'm going to glory to be with Him. And so I know in His promise there are good days ahead. And I know even when there's bad days, He'll make them good. That's His promise. Yeah, listen, that's the promise. Not made to the world. That's the promise made to the believer. Romans 8:28. That's His promise. He's going to make, even bad days, He's going to make them good. And so we rejoice in the promises of the Lord. Now, we look here in the Scripture, we find there are two primary meanings of the word life in the New Testament. Life in the New Testament, first of all, means what we commonly associate with the duration of time of existence of span. And that is your physical life. Being alive, having a heart that's beating, mouth that's breathing, have a pulse, then you have life. But we also know that there is a spiritual aspect to the word. That there are many people who, have able bodies, but listen, internally they are so troubled that they don't have a life worth living. That the only life they have is merely existence. And that's true for so many people around us. All they have in life is just existence. And there are some people, who do not understand that God, in His Word, when He speaks of life, He's talking about more than just existence. If you and I have an endless life, but it's a life of torture, we would not rejoice in it being everlasting. We want a quality to go with the quantity, right? We want good days. We want blessedness. We want peace and joy. And so the second word has to do with the quality of that life, the blessedness of that life, of not being dead emotionally, not being dead spiritually. And this alone can make life worth living. That a people may have an able body, may not have a pain in their body, but yet because of life, because of fear and dread and sorrow and guilt, they have no quality of life. There are other things that go into a quality of life. I can have a good home, good car. I can have a good husband, good wife. I could have good food on the table and still not have a quality of life. Some of the most miserable people in the world have been some of the wealthiest. And the suicide rate among the wealthy is more than it is in the poor. And how quickly people are deceived in thinking that the joy and peace of life, that internal rest, that internal hope of life, comes simply from material possessions. That's a great deception, a lie of the devil. And so as you and I look to the Scripture here, Peter reminds us, for he that will love life and see good days. That means that Peter has just revealed to us that is a possibility and it is a promise for those who know the Lord and are willing to live for Him. That is that we can love life and we can see good days. That is not taken from us even though we may have to bear up under a burden of life. We may have to bear up under the handicaps and problems of life, yet we can still have a love for life and still see good days that the Lord Himself is able to bring to us. And so, a life worth living, as we find in the Scripture, is a life that is rightly used. A life that is rightly used has a continual stream of blessings. A life that is rightly used has a continual stream of blessing. There's so many scriptures we could use to illustrate that truth, and we'll come back to some later. But a life wrongly used is a constant stream of weariness, of emptiness, of sorrow, of vanity. The worldly joys are only a brief escape. they're nothing more than an intoxication that lasts for just a brief moment. Life, human life, can be pathetic. Human life can be tragic. But God is able to give us a life worth living. And God is able, listen, to give us good days. Now, this blessedness is a constant stream of joy. It is a well that God puts within us. It was illustrated in the Gospel of John, listen, in chapter 4 with the woman at the well, illustrated in John chapter 7 concerning the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was able, listen, to take and put in a man that Holy Spirit that was like an internal fountain that continued, listen, to supply all that was needed. And so you and I can know a life worth living because we have the streams of joy and grace that God continually supplies to the believer. And so this blessedness of loving life and seeing good days is only found by faith in Christ. I'll tell you now, any other pursuit is a vain pursuit. There is nothing, listen, that will enable you to love life and see good days like that which is found when you and I walk with the Son of God, when we walk with the Savior, when we walk with our Master and Lord, when we walk with our Heavenly Father. There is no greater joy. You and I are blessed in Christ, where there is no other blessing in all the world that can be found like the blessings we have in Him. And so I challenge you today, would you like to love life, to love your life? Would you like to see good days? Then I encourage you to put your faith in Christ. Because if you think physical and material things of life will satisfy that requirement, you are dead wrong. But listen, God has promised us, listen, not a pathway where we get to escape the hardship, trouble, and trial. But He promised us that He would always be with us and that He would always supply what we need. The fact is that we have not only material earthly blessings and the goodness of God, but we have something else. We are being spiritually fed. Our inside, our spirit, is being fed by God. As I mentioned, you can have all the things that life can offer physically and materially and be most miserable, and most are. And you, listen, can have a life that you hate, a life not worth living, when you have everything that a man could imagine in this physical world. But what we need is we need a supply beyond that. We need a greater supply. We need a supply that helps us with our soul and spirit, something that helps us with our mind, something that feeds us on the inside to bring us this great joy and peace of life. Now, I love Ephesians chapter 1. You can turn if you like to read with me several verses I want to read. But notice verse 3. Boy, it begins to sum it up beautifully. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Don't you like that verse? The "us" is the believer. If you're not saved, you cannot claim this promise. All right? You cannot claim this blessedness. There is a blessedness that God gives the believer. And notice here, He said, "who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That is, that He gives me the taste of heaven while I'm living in the midst of this world and this life and all of these problems and all of these troubles. He partakes and gives of me that heavenly life where I am fed spiritual blessings from heaven. Now notice what He says. "According in verse 4. He's going to describe that. as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. God has chosen you to faith in Christ. He's chosen you. Listen, that is, salvation is initiated by God. God is the one that sought after you. And listen, thank God, His election is based on foreknowledge. What would a man do with Christ? God already knows that. And listen, you and I have an election in the Lord. That is not, however, let me just parentheses make a statement. I do not believe the Bible teaches that choice, listen, is independent of your free will. I do not believe for a moment hyper-Calvinism. What is that? That God arbitrarily decided before you were born whether you were heaven or hell. No, God knows who will receive Him and who will reject Him. That's not the same thing. God didn't make you make that choice. He knows what choice your free will made. All right, so there's a difference between the two. Now, the Bible said, having predestinated us. Now, notice predestination is not heaven or hell. Predestination is not something God does for the sinner. It's something exclusively done for the saint. The predestination doesn't mean that God predetermined me to heaven or hell. It means that once I have, of my own free will, put my faith in Christ, at that point, He determined something that would take place, and that is this, that He would finish what He started. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, having predestined unto the adoption of children. Adoption of children, the Bible is not the same as our adoption. The adoption of children in the New Testament means the placing of a son. We are born into the family of God, but we have a placement. That placement means that one day God will present you a finished son, responsible, matured, having fully grown. That's why the Bible said we have the spirit of adoption. Why? Because I ain't there yet, neither are you. But He will finish. One day, the Bible said in Jude, He'll present us faultless as the sons of God. And listen, at that point, we have our adoption. That is, we are matured, we are grown. Listen, we have matured, and so that is the adoption of sons. And so the Bible said He predetermined that He, when He started and took you as a hell-deserving sinner, washed you in His blood, changed you, gave you of His own nature, and you were born again, that God is going to see you from a babe in Christ to an adult, mature son of God. And He's predetermined that that will take place according to the Holy Scripture. And so, listen to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Let me say this, all glory and praise belongs to Him. If you've done something good in your life, it's Jesus who did it. Amen? Now listen, Paul warns us, there's no boasting. We don't go around patting ourselves on the back. Now listen, I'd be on the road to hell if it weren't for Jesus. If anything good had been accomplished, I'd give Him all the praise and glory. Now listen, if your horn needs to be tooted, let somebody else toot it. Don't toot yourself. That's what the Scripture says. And so, listen, it's all because of Him. And so, it's all to the praise of His glory. But notice here, we have in the Scriptures, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Listen, you and I have a rich blessing of God. The Bible says, listen, there's adoption, there's acceptance, there's atonement, there's abounding. Look what He says. Listen also here, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Listen, God has given you abounding wisdom. Listen, the things that God has revealed, things God has taught, the things you have learned. Listen, the great truth, the light that shined upon your soul, the knowledge God has given you. Listen, all because of our blessings in Christ. I've been, guaranteed that I will be a finished work. I have acceptance through Jesus Christ. God has accepted me. I'm not rejected. I've been welcomed in. Thank God I'm part of the family. I'm one of them. I have citizenship in heaven. Thank God I'm His. He's mine. I have acceptance. I have the atonement. Listen, who do you think you are going to heaven? I'm just a sinner. It's been washed in the blood of Christ. My sin debt been paid and paid in full. Thank God. Listen, at one, made at one, atonement. Listen, thank God I have it. I'm abounding because of the Word of God. Fill me with wisdom and knowledge. And then I have also the anointing. Look what he says. And also concerning the Holy Spirit until the you and I, verse number 13. After that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, thank God, all these things I have in Christ. Could I tell you, those things feed my soul. They feed this spirit. They feed my heart. They feed my mind. You see, thank God for the material things we enjoy. I'm blessed by them and I thank God for them. But I know there's more to life. A man's life consists not in the things that he possesses. There's more to life than bread alone. I thank God, listen, that we have something separate. As a believer in Christ, we have, listen, a life worth living. You and I can love living. We can love life. And we can look forward to good days. Why? Because as a believer in Christ, faith in Christ, I am blessed with the spiritual blessings that come from God. And I know today that even though I may have sorrow, and even though I may have trouble, and even though I may have heartbreak, and though I may face difficulties and obstacles along the way, those spiritual things I described to you from Ephesians 1, they are mine, they are mine, they are mine, and nobody can take them away from me. Listen, nobody and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Listen, they're mine, and they're mine forever. They're mine eternally, and they're my possession. God gave them to me, and you, and the world, and the devil cannot take them away from me. Listen, so I and you, we are blessed with spiritual blessing. And so, listen, that enables me, listen, to love life. To love life. The world's hope for good days is based on luck. It's based on faith. But the world, or the believer's hope for good days is his faith in Christ. And oh, listen to the good things he brings. Now go back to our text. I will try to hurry. I don't want to scare you, but that was an introduction. All right. We can always unhook the train and hook it back up later if we have to. But notice here, go back to our text. Peter is going now to give us some practical wisdom in this matter of loving life and seeing good days. The Bible says here, he says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile, let him eschew evil, do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them do evil." And so, the practical instructions that Peter gives that are very wise, very important for us, listen, to love life and to see good days. If you notice, the first thing in the practical aspect is this. Peter says you need to rule your speech. Woo! Lord, help us all. We have had a lot of bad days, a lot of bad experiences. And listen, we have some bad things ahead because we didn't rule this speech. So Peter gives us a practical lesson. I'll never forget. Rhonda probably never forget either. I'm sure she probably remembers it. I had a pastor I was serving under, I don't know, 30 years ago. I can't keep track of it all. It was some point in our life. And he was well noted for his crazy titles. I always liked that because you never got the message. That was the whole point of it. He'd give you crazy titles. But one of his messages, Brother Tim, was, "Help me, Lord, there's a tiger between my teeth." I never forgot that message. I never got it. And matter of fact, that same, he three arrows on the target. Remember that one? And I still remember his message because those crazy titles, they stuck with me. But he was preaching from the book of James. And you remember what James described for us in chapter 3, verse 5. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." What he's relating to the fact that fire has potential for being a great blessing or great destruction. We use it every day in some form or fashion, don't we? because it brings comfort. I like my food cooked most of the time. Only a couple things I eat raw. Oysters, one of them. You probably don't like that, but anyway. There are a few things, not many things, most of it I like cooked. And listen, thank God for fire. I like to be warm. Brother Cusell, I like to be warm. And I got scolded the other day because I was wearing a fleece. And it was Sheila Driver. She'd been working. She said, "Preacher, what in the world are you doing with a fleece?" I said, "Staying warm." She said, "I'm sweating like a dog. You're over in a fleece." I said, "To each his own." I was warm. I was quite comfortable with it. I like to be warm. Thank God for fire. Fire, such potential to bless. How miserable a life be without some form or fashion of it in a life. But we all know when we hear the sirens and see the fire truck, we know what fire will do. It'll devastate. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about this thing right here. The power of blessing. He goes on to say, listen, that we need the fountain right. You know why? Because, listen, we should not bless and curse with this same tongue. There should not be sweet and bitter water come out from the same fountain. And you and I understand that in the light of the power of the tongue, you and I, we must sue for the power of the Spirit of God to help us each and every day that we might control it, because it goes on to say, tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue in our among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And so we know the tongue is unruly, and so we must have the power of God to control how this tongue and use it for the power of good and not for the power of evil. Listen, you and I can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and men can be saved and delivered and rescued and redeemed and saved from the eternal fires of hell because somebody shared the truth that Jesus saved. What a blessing. What a power to change eternity in the power of the tongue. But often that tongue has called men to condemnation in hell in the midst of their anger from the same tongue. Some people have used the tongue to inflict such deep wounds. Listen, to destroy hearts, destroy lives, destroy relationships. We work with little children all our lives. And Rhonda, can I spend 1 week with those children and tell you something about what the home is like? And oh my, I tell you, the things, the devastations that come. Things that are told to children when they're young. So impressionable. Scarred them, stay with them the rest of their lives. Listen, the power of the tongue. Peter's given something practical here. He said, listen, you want to love life and see good days, you better learn to rule your speech. You better learn to rule it. And that ruling it is not in the power of the flesh, it's in the power of the Spirit of God. You and I have to seek the fullness in the power of the Holy Spirit in order that, listen, we might use it for God. The tongue, is certainly not one to be yielded to the will of the flesh, but must be yielded to the will of God. The second thing, let me give you quickly. Listen, we have to order our conduct. In verse number 11, it goes on to say here, let him eschew evil and do good. Our conduct. We understand something in the Scriptures that the world denies and rejects, and that is our conducts and our actions have consequence. Right? Y'all with me? We have consequence for what we do, what we say. The Bible calls it fruit. There's two kinds of fruit. There's the fruit. The fruit of life and fruit of death in the book of Romans. The Bible said we were the servants of sin. What fruit you had, you and those things whereof you're now ashamed. The fruit is the end product, you see. It's what comes of it all, what the end product is. And what he's relating to, that if we do not have right and moral conduct, what's going to be the end result? What's going to be the fruit? What's going to develop from it? Listen, it's not going to be sweet. It's going to be bitter. It's the bitter fruit, the ways of death. The Bible goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit. That's the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things are the end products of the fruits of the Spirit of God in our life. And so, listen, He tells us that if we want to love life and see good days, we have to rule our speech, we have to order our conduct. Why? Because those consequences will follow. They will come. What will be the end result? Listen, there are many things days ahead that we'll not look forward to, that we know sooner or later will come because we didn't have the right conduct. We made foolish decisions. We didn't do the things God have us do. And so we know there's coming a time when those things will show up on the doorstep. And so He says, listen, if you want to have a good life and love life and see good days, listen, then to have the right conduct, make right decisions, do the things that are right, do that which is good, so that when the end result comes, it'll be an investment. It will come back, listen, to be an inheritance of that which is sweet to the taste and not that which is bitter. Good practical lesson. The third thing I'm trying to hurry. The practical instructions, if you love life, see good days. And that is where to promote good relations. To promote good relations. He said, let him seek peace and ensue it. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God's great desire for us is peace, but that peace is only found, listen, by the destruction of sin. Sin is always that, listen, which brings unrest. It's peace. When Jesus was born, remember the message was sent out, peace toward men. God's intent was to bring peace. But Jesus is going to bring a sword because He's going to deal with man's sin. But God's purpose was to bring peace. Thank God. Listen, after the conflict I had with the conviction that came upon me, listen, when I accepted Jesus Christ and He washed me in His blood, and listen, came and filled me with His Spirit, what did He do? He brought peace. Thank God I have peace with God and have the peace of God. That was God's intent. And listen, God wants that of His children, that we be peacemakers. Now we understand that we're people of truth. And the truth cannot be compromised. Amen? Cannot be compromised. We cannot give it away. We don't want peace at any cost. We don't want peace by having to give up truth. We wouldn't have peace at all. No, listen, Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as possible. You know why He said that? Because if you're going to stand for truth, it's not always possible. But you work at it. That's the part. This is what He's talking about. He's saying, listen, if you want love life, see good days, you work at it at all possible means trying to find peace. That's what you're going to work at. Why? Listen, that promotes, the love of life and good days. We have enemies, but we don't go out looking for some. We don't go out trying to make any. No, we're trying to make friends. Listen, we're trying to seek peace. We want to go out to the world. We want people to know this great peace we have in God. But we know there's a reason they don't. And so we have to share the truth with them. But we can speak the truth in love. Amen? Are y'all with me? Man, y'all are hungry, starving to death. Good gracious. Oh, listen. Listen. The Bible said, let your word be seasoned with grace. Right? Listen, my mission is not condemnation. My mission, listen, is to share the gospel of God's salvation. My purpose is, listen, not to condemn. My person trying to save. The Word of God do the condemning. Listen, I share the truth. The truth cannot be compromised. It must be told, but it can be done in the right spirit. It can be done in the spirit of a peacemaker. Can be done in the spirit of love. The Bible said, though I speak with tongues of men, of angels have not charity, and becomes a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Listen, very irritating and harsh. Somebody plays a cymbal without the context of the other harmonies of music, and it's just offensive. You ever seen somebody with what they call the two cymbals that you bang together in the moon? Now, when you have a big old band going in concert, he's keeping time. It's not bad. But you let that guy sit in your living room practice. You're going to put up with that about 2 minutes. You know, some people mean well, but that's what they sound like. Harsh. Cold. Oh. Listen, this is the spirit of the peacemaker. It goes in the spirit of Christ. Desiring, to see good days, to love life. We ought to work at being a peacemaker. Trying our best with fervency. The Bible even requires of us that we love our enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Jesus said, be wise as serpent, harmless as doves. And so listen, you want to see good days, the practical instructions? Let him seek peace and ensue it. Notice verse 12, we'll close. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, ears open to their prayer. Now listen, you don't have to worry about losing. You don't have to worry about the sacrifices you make in order to follow Christ. You have a Heavenly Father who knows exactly who you are, where you're at. And He knows exactly what you need. And listen, His throne room is wide open every time you bow your head and come in Jesus' name. And listen, He's already got answers on the way before you ask them, because He's a faithful Heavenly Father. You have liberty to serve God. You have liberty, listen, to be under His control. And you know, some folks take great pride. Let me just say this in the matter of ruling our speech. Some people take great pride in the fact, boy, I'll tell you what, they'll just tell you what they think. You find where that in the Scripture is a commendable thing, in the spirit of which people talk about. Well, I'll tell you one thing, they'll tell you in a heartbeat what they think. Sometimes it might be better to keep your mouth shut. I'll tell you what's a better thing. Tell folk what God thinks. Amen? Tell folk what God thinks. You see, Peter says, listen, all the believer, he's blessed. He's blessed. And listen, we can ensue the fact that we can love life and we can see good days. But there's some practical things there. Help me, Lord, get control of this tiger by the Holy Spirit of God and use it for blessing, not for cursing. Lord, help me order my conduct, because I know what I decide today will bear fruit tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after and the day after. Make sure what I am planning today, what I am investing today, is going to be sweet tomorrow and not bitter. That's just good practical sense. We'd gain a lot from that, wouldn't we? And then, Lord, help me to have the spirit of the peacemaker. Not compromising truth. No, not at all. But have the spirit of the peacemaker, trying to maintain good relations. There are people I don't expect to like me in the community because they are promoters of sin. But listen, as far as my attitude to them, if they need me, I'll help them. I'll help them in a heartbeat. Maintaining good relations. Listen, that's important. Important. I don't have time for that. But boy, we could get into families with that one. You know what you're supposed to do when I mention that, don't you? I'm going to do it for you. What about families? Peacemaker, good relations. You want good days? Work at it as much as possible. Much as possible. Be a peacemaker. Not a compromiser, but a peacemaker.